Blog Talk Radio.
Everyone had a great week so far. I hope you have a better weekend to follow. And, yeah, I'm looking forward to the board tonight. Hey, Rex, how are you tonight?
I'm just fine. What's happening?
Well, you know, not too much. We got a full board of poetry. We got quite a few audios, which are always nice to have. And, yeah, other than that, not too much. Not too much. And right now, it's just you and me. So that's where we're going to start, I guess.
All right.
Anything new and eventful? Sunday, you have the Olivia Newton-John show,
yes.
Correct?
Yes. Absolutely. And it could use a few inkings.
Nice. For anyone who's interested, look that up. And let's see, we have Park Center, Park Saint after our show tonight. And then tomorrow we have Exploring X Phrases. And then we have Rex's Olivia Newton-John contest on Sunday, or show on Sunday, followed by the Garden of Enlightenment on Monday with Louie Wild Dog and Gray Eyes Smith. And after that is After Midnight with Rex and Pam. And what you got going on there, Rex?
Oh my God. Let me see.
Yeah. It's a pop quiz.
Pop quiz, and I'm not ready for it.
I'm sorry.
Sounds about the same.
Let me see. After Midnight, Will Cuppy. Is that it?
Oh, yeah. Yes. All right.
Okay, well, that's awesome. I'm not sure who Will Cuppy is. It looks like he's got a lot of quotes. So, sounds like a winner tonight. And on Tuesday, we have Twisted Tuesdays with Twisted Sisters. And that will be, well, that's all I'm going to say, because Tuesday, I'll tell you all about Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday again. I think that's probably the best way to handle it. Otherwise, I get lost in the details of it all. And I don't want to overwhelm everybody, because I know how I can be. Listen, Rex, we got some carryovers from last Friday. We have some carryovers from Wednesday. Yeah, but I didn't have enough to call this Thrifty Friday. I only have four. So I pouted on that one. Because, you know, I'm dying to decorate the room for Thrifty Friday, but not going to do it until we have a whole lot more time.
No.
So I think that, and I think that it's going to be a good night of poetry. So what do you say? Should I get us started here?
Absolutely.
Okay. Now let's get an audio. That's a lot of them. So here, I got the piece for you to start the show off with. Okay. I'm going to put this one up for you, Rex, to read, and it is called Blue Bugs Don't Live Here Anymore by Cedar Chapman.
All right. Bluebirds Don't Live Here Anymore by Peter Chapman. Bluebirds don't sing on my fig tree anymore. They hide in the thorny blackberry bush, deep in my backyard, where love goes to die. I visit on rainy days when I am lonely and want to hear wind chimes or talk to old ghosts and skeletons. A bluebird landed on your shoulder to chirp a song, but I smashed it with my bare hands, bit off its head, chewed its gizzard, and stirred my coffee with its neck bone. I gave you a sheepish grin while we talked about hobbies and careers and our favorite authors. I prayed you didn't notice the cornflower down feathers twitching by the left crease of my lips. Bluebirds don't live here anymore. They flew away with ghosts and skeletons. Only Levi's, Stetson, and leather boots remain, and the faint scent of Kentucky bourbon mixed with sweet cigarillo. You were on my bed in the morning, so I climbed the fig tree, grabbed a nest as kindling, and fried a dozen bluebird eggs, sunny side up. I stabbed the yolk, washed it bleed over crispy hash browns, and talked about favorite TV shows. You left in your Toyota Prius and looked in the rearview mirror, wondering if you heard bluebirds sing, but you saw nothing, green door, and black flies buzzing in. End poem.
Wow.
That's a new find on Buchnowski's Bluebird.
Right. I can't think of, what is the actual name of that? Oh, it's just called Bluebird by Buchnowski?
Yes.
Yeah, I guess to make it, maybe it is. But for some reason, I thought it was a different title. I probably have a different title in my mind from somewhere else. But, yeah, I mean, it's very Bukowski-ish, I must say. You know, it's got that hard edge to, you know, with the sarcasm and the nimble. Well, it's just a harsh type of poem, I think. I've seen Peter Chapman write some really beautiful, beautiful, beautiful things, and now I've seen him write Bukowski. Very well done, Peter. You know, I think that he really nailed the feel of the Bukowski poem. I really do. And I think that there was great imagery throughout, and, well, maybe not so great imagery, you know. It was a little rough imagery, but it was good. It was well done and well written. And with that being said, I think that, Yeah, Peter, this is another great poem, and thank you so much for sharing with us, as always. Excellent job. Absolutely.
Very good, Dean. It's quite the note to that bluebird of happiness. When it leaves, all hell breaks loose. Because once you dig into that note of sadness, you've got plenty of great metaphors in here that walk on that note to sandwich the thorny blackberry bush up front where love goes to die. A nice touch to lead off. And then a sort of the strangulation of that bluebird. That's that note, because Bukowski had that sort of, he didn't let the bluebird out much for people to see, because he didn't want them to note and understand the pain angle when it comes forth. So he'd always write with something a little bit with some tarnish and some hard edge on it. And this definitely walks that. The thought of eating that bluebird just to keep it out of sight, and then stirring the coffee cup with its neck. That was a great too. And the thought of fried a dozen bluebird eggs sunny side up. Again, that note to killing off the happiness sought or felt, but now being delivered on a sour end as that Toyota Prius just leaves, because death is abound with those black flies buzzing in. Quite a piece there, Peter.
Absolutely. Amazing. Just amazing stuff. It's in there. Okay. Well, I think that that was a great piece. And next one I want to put up is by DJGF, called A Hero of War. And I have an audio for that one. Oh my gosh, dang it. Hit all the wrong buttons. Here we go.
Let me tell you about this soldier I know. Escaped his prison at just 17 years old. I remember that day in the blistering cold. And when he said goodbye, I could feel it in his tone. Knowing this was the time he could call his own, and the envy I felt as he left his home, watching him disappear into that flying boat. Little did we know with what the future would come. That was the summer of 2001. I remember that day like it was just a dream. Woke up like a baby from my deep sleep. Came in the living room, and what did I see? Two towers on fire on a color TV screen. My grandma said, "Look, we're under attack." But being in fourth grade, I didn't acknowledge the fact. Didn't know that this would pave the path for another burden placed on an American son's back. We still have the letters he sent from BASIC, describing how he came to be a combat medic. Like his, everyone's mind was hectic. I lined up in the yard, they asked who wanted to make these bastards pay for the damage they've made. He raised his hand, no time to waste, knowing completely what the stakes would be, and offered his life to defend baby liberty. One letter described the time he sustained for 4 months straight at a single base. Mortars constantly coming, night and day. Hearing whistling overhead, knowing it will may leave its mark far outside the gate or blow up directly in his face. After a while, you get callous to the haste, accepting the fact he could set his own pace. Just walking around from place to place, because at any second, he could meet his fate. What hit me the most that he told us about was when a mother and her daughters had to be snuffed out. The girls kept running from out of their house, AKs in their hand, fingers on the triggers, casing spewing about. Dropping to one knee, it came down to one thing. It's either them or me. Two shots and they hit the ground. It wasn't yet over, for the mother appeared with a shout. RPG on her shoulder, ready to be a martyr. Two more shots and she went down. The day he came back felt like the weather. So much emotions running, we all at least once cried. Not yet old enough to buy a beer, he refused anyone's attempt to sympathize. You can only imagine what he'd been through with a tear. And he didn't want to be rewarded for the time. Father, grandparents, and mother, unaware of the horrors witnessed by his eyes, I'm proud to call him my brother, a soldier. Our hero of war had come back alive.
Great read, DJ. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. Boy, this is quite the in-depth piece. 17 years old, hitting on that note and going overseas after after 9/11, and then the roll through of that which he had to do. Otherwise, he wouldn't be coming home either. Hard notes to reality that a lot don't ever get to tell their story, and even more get lost within that story as they're broken on their way back home. So cheers to you and your brother, DJ. This was a wonderful write, and I did note your AN, you wrote the 10th anniversary and presented to your brother engraved on a plaque of Veterans Day. You knew about his apprehension and disdain of being praised for his service because of what he had done, but you wanted to give him something to be a final say of recognition that he will be able to see forever without anyone having to bring it up again. Your entire goal being to relay the emotions in written format to alleviate the burden for him having to talk about such things. And still, it doesn't tell anywhere near the full story, so that is a hard edge too, and bitter pills to have lumped on your shoulders, even at that young an age, barely old enough to actually pick up that kind of a weapon and use it, yet doing it anyway. How about you, Jean?
Yeah, this was an incredible piece. I thought it was an excellent gift of recognition for his brother. It had great imagery all throughout. The rhyme and flow were well done. It was just really an incredible piece. He really hit on so much, so many great details. I think the emotions were captured well. And I just, an incredible job and wonderful, wonderful work, DJGF. Just amazing, amazing right there. And thank you for sharing it with us. Yes.
Where would you like to go next?
I don't know. I had a sentence I was going to take, and I don't remember what it was. So I guess we're going to go somewhere. Sounds about right. Trust that way. Okay. I'm going to put up one by Emiliana. And I'm going to give it a read. I hope I'm not doing this too soon. Oh, hang on. We have a caller. Let's see who we have. Hello, 877. Who's calling, please?
Hey, lady and gentlemen, it's Dan DeShino here.
Oh, my God, it's Dan DeShino. Hi, Dan.
Dan, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are we doing? Yes, I have to be up 24 hours from now, so this is a practice run for me.
Oh, jeez.
For the show tomorrow night. No, I was up listening to the show, and I said, I got to join. What a great show tonight. That was a fantastic write by Diggs, by the way. You know, I you can never say enough about war heroes and people that defend our country. I mean, we have to have them. They wouldn't be here, and people being able to give up their lives for us. So I thought it was very beautiful. But it is great to be here tonight. I'm very excited to join you guys.
It's always good to have you when you can manage to join us. I mean, life is just not easy on all of us, you know, where you just show up. But it's always wonderful when you can sign up.
Getting to be an old man, you know, 10 p.m. is like, you know, 2 in the morning to me, so it's hard to stay up that late.
You don't have to tell me. I'm an old lady. We're good. Some nights you don't want to sleep at all, and other nights, boy, it's like, oh, my God, is it time yet? But, you know, we do our best, right?
Exactly.
Let's see now. I put a piece up for myself to read, and then I'll get you one, Dan. Don't you go running off nowhere.
I'm ready.
This is called Bridge Poetry by Emiliana. God bless.
I'm sorry, before you read it, I don't see it posted.
Oh, I posted it before I picked you up. Let me look. I'm pretty sure.
Oh, it is there. I'm sorry. I was on for two seconds. I already ruined the show and interrupted you. I'm sorry. I see it now.
Okay, it's been taking long. It's all right. It's all right. If you didn't screw it up, I would have, so don't worry about it.
All right. I got it.
That's okay. Here we go. Bridge Poetry by Emilia Anya. God built me to stand tall among earthquakes. My legs stretched the river's bottom. Anchored feet cuddled the sea grasses, where fish weave through my toes. I laid my asphalt carpet so that truck drivers and late to appointment families could roll. I fanned out my spine to guard against weather westerlies that hound me day and night, nagging me to open doors and set them loose on the pedestrian. But I hold, even as the winds oxidize my iron skeleton, blasting me with streaks of green. And what do I get? Skid marks and spit, urea soaked into the cracks lining my sidewalk, my birthmarks desecrated, and oh, how they whine about me, my age, my osteoporosis. Why don't you swim across the Hudson River? Come out a drowned rat and complain about me again through chattering teeth. The audacity. End poem.
Well, great read there, Jean. And Emiliana said, the underlying footnote to this was Underfoot by Jack Tomkovic. Short, liked it, and decided to rework it with her own voice. Why don't we start with you, Dan? What'd you think?
Sorry, mutating there. This is really beautiful. I mean, I really like just the beginning part. God built me to stand tall among earthquakes, stretched my legs to the river's bottom, anchored feet. Treating herself on this as kind of the bridge, in my opinion, where she's kind of bridging herself through different places. But I mean, she always writes very personal rights and very very deep. So then I like where she went at the end, where what do I get? Skid marks and spit, urea soaked cracks lining my sidewalks. So what do you get when you actually do bridge things, when you try to bring people together? I mean, I might be reading really into this, but this is what I kind of got out of it. And even as the winds oxidize my iron skeleton, blasting me with streaks of green. Really, really interesting with those colors that she had on there. But that's kind of what I got out of it, not actual bridges, but kind of bridges that you gap between people, and what do you get for it? You know, it makes me think of sometimes where you're trying to help people, trying to get people to work together, and then you walk away and 2 days later they hate each other again. You know, it's like trying to build those bridges, trying to get people to get together, you know, and, you know, sometimes what do you actually get from it? So, beautifully done by Emiliana. I really enjoyed it.
Excellent, Dan. Spot on. Thank you very much. And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I thought this was really a great write, a wonderful job personification, speaking from the bridge's point of view. I love that. I find it intriguing that she wrote this for a piece of Jack Tomkovic. I would like to have had the chance to read that one again, just to kind of, see how she managed with that thought in mind. I thought the imagery was very well penned, and I thought she did an excellent job. So very enjoyable write, and excellent work, Emmy, and thank you for sharing. Really appreciate that.
Thank you, Jean. Yeah, I love the literality of it. It walks that that venue of bridge itself, but I also, the underlying metaphorical angle that Dan alluded to, it works and is spot on as well. That sort of, it isn't just the bridge the gap between two land masses. It's bridging the gap between people as well. And what happens? You do get both ends, the thought of the osteoporosis, age, and the skid marks spit and being urinated on as those notes of backbiting and you don't know what you're talking about, so to speak. And they speak well to both angles as people use bridges for all manner of things. Nicely done, Emiliana. Thank you very much. All right, Jane.
Okay. I'm going to put up another audio. I won't have so many of them tonight. And this one is by Poetic Picasso, and it's called She Dreams in Red. So let me hit that button. Yeah.
Within the carpets of blackberries and sleeping willows lie is a scarlet rose with a drop of a matinal dew from the petrichor, a somber token of a lonesome flower forsaken in the fold, whose petals are slowly wilting in the bitter rum of despair. The rays of the sun shine away the texture of its sepals, effacing the dreary shade of a hollow regret of thorns, as the darkness of yesterday, sounding the threnody of crickets, fades into the sober shadow of the face of phantoms of the past. The drops of dew drip into puddles by the whirligigs of the meadows, as I am flabbergasted by the shriveling blooms longing with a thirst. The westerly wind soon caress the mournful rose with an embrace, and its gentle petals are imbued by the moisture of a fresh new day. She dreams in color, she dreams in red, she dreams of happiness, she dreams of hope. I am the soothing rain washing away her tears. I am the soothing rain washing away her tears.
Wonderful read, Frank. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. All right, Gene, you get to lick your fingers with this one up front.
I think this was just another beautiful write by Frank. You know, as always, he's got wonderful imagery, you know, wonderful romantic, you know, he's got so much detail in here, and it's so well done. Let me see. I was looking at something. I have to remember where it was. I don't know. There's just so much good imagery. I mean, I could pick any couplet and really make it all, you know. I mean, it's just all good. But I did like the end, I have to say. She dreams in color, she dreams in red. She dreams of happiness, and she dreams of hope. I am the soothing rain washing away her tears. That was really a lovely way to wrap this up. I think that, you know, the soothing rain washing away her tears is just lovely. You know, and I'm not sure what the song was underneath, but I think that the morning dew on roses is what it says. It was a beautiful image to have right underneath of those last couple of lines. And I think that Frank, as always, you know, has done a fabulous job with the write. So I want to say thank you, Frank. Great job.
Thank you, team. Daniel, how about you?
Well, as a completely heterosexual man, even I think Frank's voice is hot. You know, how can you not, right? I mean, who gives better audios than Frank, right? He's such a great reader. No, but I love this. He has such a great way about just taking. It's all to me. A lot of his writing is on the surface. It's just a good story or a good. Good descriptions, and I always love poetry like that, and his is just fantastic. I think he's kind of literally just talking about a woman who is dreaming in of flowers and meadows and nature, and all of her emotions are in these different different flowers that she sees, and he just does such an amazing job on this. One of those ideas I wish I thought of. You know, why didn't I think of something like that? And then I agree, I like that. And the soothing, and I am the soothing rain that washes away her tears. But she can just see herself in all the different petals and all the different phases of nature and the seasons. And all of herself in these things, and I just thought that was just really brilliant the way he kind of put that and broke it up into these little two line sections. So bravo, Frank, as always, awesome job.
Excellent, great comment there, Dan. Thank you very much. And Gene, there's a new note for the artist production. Who gives better audio? Boy,
that's right.
Can you find me one more time? I missed something. Like, I'm sorry.
My phone was in set.
Who gives better audio?
Yeah, right. Oh my God! Did you listen to last Wednesday? Oh my God! I said if there had been a gas leak, the whole place would have exploded. It was hot on Wednesday.
We had Lulu. We had Gray. We had Frank. We had Valentina Holloway. We had Pam. We had a whole lot of stuff happening. There was people I haven't mentioned, so don't anyone take that personally. But it was muy caliente. Whoa. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, we could have that challenge and really go somewhere with it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This one, I'll never get anywhere near what Dan just came up with. So, Frank, this was wonderful piece. Sit on that note. You've got some great thoughts in here. I like the carpets of blackberries up top, and then you hit on the bitter rum of despair. A nice note that is. Texture of sepals, the regret of thorns, the threnody of cricket. A nice touch as that little cut note to almost a violin play off the crickets in the background. That was a great angle. And then the thought, being flabbergasted by the shriving booms longing with a thirst, the westerly wind soon caressed the mournful rose with an embrace. And then that finishing note, I am the soothing rain washing away her tears. Great piece. It walks pretty much as a literal piece, and then you dip a little bit here and there, and then finish out with that burst of reality to finish. So, nicely done there, Frank. All right, Jane, we're back to you.
Some awesome stuff, man. Okay, let me see. Now, for Dan, I have one for you by Bookworm Dave, and it's called Curiosity Cures, and it's so amazing. Yeah, whenever you're ready.
Absolutely. Okay. Curiosity cures and it is so amazing. Her wheat-colored hair flew in the wind with a scent that led me to find out more. She confided she was too curious. She never had a man nor a boy take interest in her. Staring at her hazel eyes, I was confused. Her body was not a knockout, but her mind there lay the beauty. Writing how she wanted to be a woman. Her girlish toys showed away, and she shared the afternoon reading our poetry. Laughing and smiling, sparks were finding their marks. Let's make this more official, I whispered. Would you like to join me for dinner? She smiled. Yes, she whispered back, in the evening of homework. We were inseparable. Thinking of Hugo, curiosity is one of the forms of feminine bravery. Indeed, we were both curious. We walked hand in hand. Later, to her single dorm room, we played music holding each other, discovering love, teaching the other, finding what we both liked. Not a one-night stand, nor a quick night, but a slow courtship, letting us learn about one another, satisfying our curiosity. Many showers later, we would finally consummate our love on our six-month bliss, making love with her, sharing our naked bodies, knowing it was love. So long ago, when love was new, I hope she knows I thought her brave, admitting how curious she was. I was too, hoping life finds you well, my freckled love. End poem.
Thanks.
Excellent, Dan. Thank you very much. Well, that was quite the follow-up to Frank P. All right, Gene, you get off on the first one here.
I think Dave did a nice job with this piece. This is actually written, I believe, for one of Pam's prompts, by Victor Hugo prompts. Curiosity is one of the forms of feminine beauty. And I think that he did a nice job with this. It was young love. It sure seemed like it was college years, not many high school kids say have a dinner, but I think that it was just beautifully written, and it was sweet. It was really sweet. I guess that's what I really want to say. It was just a loving and sweet piece, and a beautiful, story told throughout. I think that, I think they really, really did a nice job with this. So, wonderful work, Dave, and I want to thank you for allowing us to read it on the show.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. All right, Dan, you got to read it. How about you?
I did. It was very beautiful. I mean, I didn't see anything in the liner notes, but I can certainly take this as autobiographical. I'm not sure if this is somebody he's still with, because you do have the very last line, hoping life finds you well, my freckled love. So, certainly a fond memory for him. Something where he really, found somebody, like he says, not a one-night stand, not a quick night, but a slow courtship. So somebody that he really bonded with, that he, we were inseparable, thinking of Hugo. We walked hand in hand, taking her to a single dorm room. We played music, holding each other. So this is more of a discovery of romance. You think back of those years, everything is still new. And when you're in college, you think you're an adult, you think you're going everywhere, but everything is still all new to you. You're still kind of discovering things and all these new experiences. So you kind of really feel that in this piece. I think you did an absolutely beautiful job. And if this is not somebody he's with now, I hope the person gets to read it somehow. So,
nice, Dan. Thank you very much. And you're right. Those opening a few stanzas did hit on that note of being away from home for the first time in college, as you put out, and the thought of just kind of growing slowly into each other instead of that normal hectic rush that one finds with a college life. And then the ease in which they did melt into each other eventually, and still there's that note of first love with the last stanza and that very last line, hoping life finds you well, my freckled love. That note to something that lingered long on the lips and in the mind, well into well past the days and the early days in college life. So, great piece there, Dave. Thank you. All right, Jane.
I have another audio that I'm going to put up. So this is by Naomi Sarah, and it's called A Bony Affair. Oh, we have some more callers. Oh, hold on. Hold the bus. Sorry, I'm going to be in trouble. Hello, 503. Who's calling, please?
Hello, this is Emmy or Emiliania.
Hello,
hey,
Emmy.
Hey, Emmy, how are you tonight?
Hey, Emmy.
I am good. How are you?
If I was any better, I'd be twins.
Hey, that's Pam's line.
No, it's not.
She stole
that's
it.
My line.
Oh, is that your line?
That's
oh, she line. Stole it from you. Okay.
Yes,
oh,
she did.
She stole it from you, then. Gosh darn it, she fooled
uh-huh.
me.
Yes, she did. She did. I have to talk to her about stealing my work. Man. I have to charge her.
Oh, there you go.
Yes.
Yeah, she needs to copyright that every time she says it.
I'm going to tell me you ratted her out, too. That's what I'm going to tell her.
Uh-oh. I'm in trouble.
What can I say, yes. Okay, and our next caller is area code 443. And who's calling, please? Martha?
Hello,
hey,
Martha.
Hey, Martha, how are you tonight?
Hey, Martha.
You're doing pretty good. Good. Glad to hear it. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you.
Absolutely. Okay, well. Now, Emmy, I have to tell you, I do feel guilty now because I read your piece. I just want you to know. I said, I hope I'm not jumping the gun here. And sure as heck, I think I was. happens that way, I guess, during my life.
Wait, read whose piece or?
Your piece. The one at the bridge.
Oh, yeah, thank you. I was trying to mix it up a little bit and write something more on the humorous side.
It really was. It was a great poem. We all really enjoyed it. I just feel bad. If I had known you were calling, I would have definitely loved it for you to read.
Well, thank you. I feel like I've sort of noticed this over time that like these sort of like readings of other people's poems can in many ways be like a collaboration in a way. Of like you trying to work to like understand what you're reading.
Yeah.
So I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's great work.
Clever piece,
and I like it very much. Okay, kids, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to put up this piece by Naomi Sarah, and we have an audio for that. So Martha dropped. Okay, Martha, maybe you'll be back. I have faith. Now, here it is. Yep, there she is. Okay, here we go.
A bony affair. I swallowed your skeletal smile in one giant gulp, sucking out the marrow like soft, mushy marshmallow. Used a piece of your spine to dig out your name still stuck in my teeth. Snapped most of your frame into sweet peanut brittle. Wore the rest of your bones like jewelry in my ears and pins in my hair until the rattle and shake, tremble and quake of you calcified slowly. And you, does the blood you splattered from my slit, open heart still glow in the dark upon your bedroom wall? Can you still feel my bones under your sheet? How many times have you tried to wash them clean?
Great read, Naomi. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And, Emmy, why don't we start with you, please?
Well, that was actually really, really good. I liked the, I think the parts I really liked about this was just the wordplay, like use the piece of your spine to dig out your name still stuck in my teeth. That kind of stuff can just be really, really, really effective, and it's a great way of kind of making concrete something that is kind of more on the abstract side. Like a name, for instance, can be a little less detailed, but you can, of course, kind of play around with that. I think the part that really got me was though that I swallowed your skeletal smile, which to me almost felt like it was just sort of like you, it's almost felt like a love kind of thing, and then I hear in one giant gulp and it was like, oh, there. It's like a zinger kind of, you could say. So that was a really funny thing experience. I definitely expected something interesting to come about with the title being A Bony Affair, but yeah, it was wonderful stuff.
Thank you, Emmy. Dan, how about you?
This is definitely very interesting. I think this is partly written for Sinner and Saint. It looks like a monstrous seven deadly sins. So I believe this is on wrath. And I think she's almost thinking like a monster, like thinking of just, you know, taking the obsession with somebody, with an affair, with a love affair with somebody, the obsession, and turning it into almost monstrous, like the contest might have stated, where, you know, used a piece of your spine, like I think like Emmy said, used a piece of your spine to dig at your name, still stuck in my teeth, snapped most of your frame into sweet peanut brittle, just almost back and forth with the, you know, I'm so mad at you, but I'm still obsessed. And she says that, Dan, can you still feel my bones under your sheets? How many times have you tried to wash them clean? For some reason, that line reminded me of Alanis Morissette would have written if she was a ghoul. I don't know why. It just came to mind when I was reading it. But I enjoyed the where she went with this and the imagery and the just the kind of almost kind of taking just hatred and anger, like I said, and turning it into this kind of what a monster or a ghoul might think of. So it was a really interesting place to go to for Naomi. She always has fantastic imagery and thoughts. So great job, Naomi, and great SoundCloud too. I enjoyed it.
Thank you, Dan. And sure. Jean, how about you? Are you mutating?
I may be. Did you call my name? I didn't hear my name. I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
I'm saying, who did you say? And then all of a sudden you said, are you mutating? And I had to laugh. Of course I am. Of course. What else would I be doing? That's a thing that I am. at least I'm honest. Right? Okay, let me see here. What did I write? I thought it was a great read. I really enjoyed it. I thought it was a clever piece and it was well expressed. There was good imagery throughout, and I really enjoyed it. But I have to say, I wouldn't want to piss her off. That's what I can say about it, huh? Really? I could be dangerous. Yeah. But nicely done, Naomi. Thanks for sharing, as always. Great stuff.
Absolutely. This was a little bite of something different. A little bit of cannibal cleanliness with haute couture and the first three standards, and the last two kind of walked within that with that note of, I've made a voodoo doll. How are you going to live with that one? Definitely a different piece there, Naomi. Thank you.
Okay. Let me see. Miss Martha did drop and she has not come back again. So she might. I'll keep you posted. And Emmy, I have one for you to read if you don't mind. And this one is by Darkened Auras. And it's called Descending into Madness. So whenever you're ready. Emmy? Go ahead, Lex, say it.
Okay, sorry, I had to run up. I had to, sorry. Let me pull up the poem really quick. This is Descending into Madness by Darkened Auras. As I sit here in the abyssal dark amongst the former shells of friends, my mind is sucked into a whirlpool, and madness soon descends. I hear the psychotic sounds of laughter slice through the silent night. Like a knife through butter, the sharp blade caught the light. I caught a reflection in the mirror. 'Twas I who made the voice. With dripping dagger in my hand, I had made the choice. It's just a dream, I told myself. A sickening smirk crossing my face. As the psycho in my reflection took his blade and began to trace. A line across Adam's apple, blood soon began to seep. Suddenly I was filled with fear, my eyes began to weep. As I felt the warmth trickle down and the skin begin to split, it was only at this moment, too late, I realized I had not imagined it. End poem.
Ooh. Great read, Emmy. Thank you very much. All right, Dan, I heard that woo in there. What'd you think?
That was a great read, Emmy. Beautiful read. Very interesting. I mean, obviously I hear the psychotic sounds of laughter slice silent through the night like a knife through butter. I mean, the knife is all throughout there, and this is, somebody who it killed themselves and just realized it. There's so much on here with this, either sometimes you can think of, and you know, I've luckily never been there, but where people who try to kill themselves or harm themselves right afterwards or right before, they sometimes get scared. You know, what did I do? What am I doing? Why did this happen? And you can almost see that in here. But then the madness and the depths that you have to sink to do that, you know, you hear a lot of, I mean, I've certainly been depressed and down enough where I don't even feel like I'm a person, I'm a spirit, right? Like, you're so far down. Do you really know what you're doing? And that's kind of almost what this person is. You can feel that. I mean, it's just, it's very, you know, this is very dark, but it's just well, I want to say beautiful because it's very, very dark, but it's very, very well written where you can just kind of feel that place that people would go to do something like this. And I thought it was, you know, well done like that. Hopefully not autobiographical for this poet, I'm hoping, but yeah, very, very well done.
Thank you, Dan. Jean, how
sure.
about you?
You know, I thought that this was a good take on the prompt. The prompt was actually an Edgar Allan Poe title prompt, and it was a descent into the maelstrom. And I think it came off with a good flavor of Poe throughout. You know, I think it hit all the right notes of eerie and creepy, and you know, when you get down to those last three stanzas, you know, it's like, wow, it's just a dream, I told myself, the sickening, as a psycho in my reflection, took his blade and began to trace a line across Adam's apple, blood soon began to seep. Suddenly I was filled with fear, my eyes began to weep. You know, it is Poe-ish, you know, and I think that she really hit the notes on it. And so I think that in that respect, it was a great, great write. And I definitely want to thank, you know, Dark and Doris for sharing with us tonight. It's always good to have, I don't know, I just like the diversity of Friday night. And yeah, it was well done, really well done. Great dark piece.
Thank you, Jean. And Emmy, mm-hmm. how about you? You got to read it.
Yeah. It's very interesting. I think that it's just a dream part is almost like, I was thinking like it's not real in a way. Like, and I feel like there's this real essence of madness and just the fundamental just disconnect from reality. And I think that can be a thing too. It's almost like you could easily imagine, like, you know, having a dream where something is just reaches a point where you decide you want to, like, wake up from it. And the typical way of waking up from a dream is to actually, like, end your life in said dream. And so in this sense, it's like momentary realization that it is actually real. It's sort of like a return away from that that sense of insanity. But it almost seems like this isn't actually like a kind of like suicide, but almost like something that is like very extreme in the sense that like the person may not even really be realizing like what they're actually doing in the moment and only really realize after. And people have died from this before. Like it can be a very real thing. So yeah, a wonderful write filled with lots of interesting details that kind of just draw me in. But I don't know, could just be my like dark side.
Nice, Emmy, thank you. It kind of hits on that note of a psychotic break or a bipolar episode going from one extreme to the other in the moment before you actually realize, the stone has been cast, so to speak, and you've gone a little bit too far this time past the thought of the dream itself. So nicely done, DA. Thank you. All right, Jean, where about going you?
Martha's back. Hello, Martha. Welcome back. Did you
hello,
hear that last
you.
Piece?
I got
Yeah, I got, no, I didn't hear that here, and I was getting on my line.
Okay, not a problem. I just thought I'd ask since you were back. Okay, now get some Velcro, put it on your chair, and we'll be good. Okay. The next one I want to put up is a piece by Shelley A.B., and it's called Music. I don't have an audio for that, so let me put that on.
Music. Music is contagious. Make it more outrageous. Make me break the cages that confine me to the pages of a story I didn't write, of a war that isn't my fight. It is the giver of light, bringing to you pure delight as you dance on through the night under a moon that's shining bright. Hold on with all your might as music will grip on tight. It really is a handful, could be seen as a scandal. Because music is like a vandal that pulls up with a pen, takes out a gun, and then sprays graffiti over the wall. The sirens you hear call for you to stand up tall. Down will come it all as the bricks tumble and fall. The walls you have around will collapse to the ground. Earthquakes with the sound. Oh, the feeling is profound, leaving you spellbound. A symphony does surround. Collapsed by words so true, lyrics that stick like glue, in your mind it's like they knew what you experienced as you grew. All the old times and the new, everything that you've been through, a song can resonate inside of you. Melodies, pictures you appreciate, freeing your soul so you can concentrate on all the things you have to forget to hate, the reasons for your emotional state, on what is choice and what is fate, singing memories of any date, of the nights you stayed up late, all the kisses for which you did wait, the times your worth was a debate, the loved ones you commemorate, and for all the moments you celebrate. You were made to fly on the notes you sing up high, the flow your lamp. Your life dances by as you love, laugh, and cry. With the rhythm, your third eye finds the real inside the lie. In our blood, past the day we die. End poem.
Great read, Shelley. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Martha, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, I think it's great. It just expresses so much about what music really, really does and how it makes you feel and how it's just a wonderful experience. I really liked it.
Thank you, Martha. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a nicely penned piece. Great rhyme and flow in the piece and clever and very well done. I really enjoyed it. So many stanzas. Were really quotable. I mean, each section really held its own, and I think that she did a wonderful job. So thank you so much, Shelley, for, sharing with us. Absolutely. Nice work.
Thank you, Jean. Dan, how about you?
I really like this a lot. I thought the reading was absolutely beautiful. I have to look for more SoundClouds by her. I thought she was passionate, and I loved her voice. It was great. I could have stopped after the first two lines. Music is contagious. Make it more outrageous. That's like what I think about music right there. It is something that I think we all just almost have to have. And the more personal and experimental it is, usually that's the kind of stuff that I like to listen to. But I think the whole thing was written musical. Like Gene said, the rhyming was spot on. I could see this as an actual song, and I love how each stanza is just, you know, has that one kind of rhyme that goes together. So yeah, everything was just beautiful. Tribute to music and how, like Frank Zappa says, speaking of outrageous, music is everything, and she put that in here. So great job, great read, Shelley A.B.
Thank you, Dan, and Emmy, how about you?
Yeah, I think it was
really nice, just the sort of the comparison to like the vandalism, sort of like being kind of stained, right, in the brain. It's a really interesting way of putting it. And I, of course, like memories associated with sound tend to be the most resilient memories, actually. I mean, there's been like research on Alzheimer's patients, and usually the very, very last memories that go are those that are associated with songs. So that's, I mean, I feel like out of all the sensory kind of memories that we possess, I think music tends to be the most deep-rooted, like, within our psyche at the end of the day. And I think this is a great job of just kind of explaining it. You know, you can listen to a song that you listened to way back in a completely different time in your life, and it can just take you right back there. So it's, I mean, that's just kind of the power that it has over you. So, yeah, it was a great poem with the very interesting comparisons.
Thank you, Annie. I like the modern rhyme she used for each stanza. It's just something a little to help with the flow and her thoughts. And also, it's on that note of music has charms that soothe the savage breast. So even like I said. In that second to last stanza, melodies, pictures you appreciate, freeing your soul so you can concentrate on all the things you have to forget to hate, the reasons for your emotional state, on what is choice and what is fate, singing memories of any date, of the nights you stayed up late, all the kisses for which you did wait, the times you worked with the debate, the loved ones you commemorate, and for all the moments you celebrate. There is that nice notation that music is one of those profound things that sings along the veins, thumps within the heart, and lights the brain in the moment to give you ease no matter what is going on in life. So, nicely done, Shelley. All right, Jane, we're back on you.
Okay. Well, let me see now. I have one here from Martha Gettle. Martha, I'm going to put this piece up. It's called In Your Limelight by Kiku. So whenever you're ready. Martha?
Martha? Uh-oh. We lose her again?
I see her.
Hello, I'm back.
Okay. Could you read In Your Limelight for us, please?
Yeah, I got it. Okay. In Your Limelight. You. Ultramarine outlines your soft glow, cloaked to the midnight regal tunic, embossed with intricate silver nimbus, occupied by the fragrant regale, kind and humble, not to outshine, a dutiful hospitality to pompous stars. Your mysterious nature, quite hysteric, disappearing often into the night, amongst the lively, luminary masquerade. So stoic at times, but sincerely honest, enchanting enough for all the kingdom of dusk. Often I glimpse at your crescent smirk on jubilant nights, your full gleaming grin. Unwittingly, I smile in your limelight. End poem.
Nice read there, Martha. Thank you very much. And Emmy, why don't we start with you, please? Emmy, you there?
Sorry, I've been doing some other stuff. Would you mind coming back around to me?
Sure. No problem.
I wanted to read it again really quick.
Okay. Dan, why don't we kick it with you then?
Of course. I thought this was really beautiful. It actually fooled me for a little bit, and it probably shouldn't have, but I can say it's probably about the moon is in your limelight. I actually thought she was talking about a person at first, And I was trying to kind of figure it out, and then it got to me that, again, I believe at least it's about the moon and having it as a limelight and almost as a star. I mean, like a, I don't mean a star, but, you know, like a celebrity, I thought was really, really interesting. A mysterious nature, quite esoteric, disappearing often into the night amongst the lively luminary masquerade, you know, and that's how you can almost see it. It kind of can disappear, go behind the clouds, and it was really, really interesting. Often I glimpse at your crescent smirk on jubilant nights, your full beam grinning. Unwittingly, I smile in your limelight. So I thought this was almost ancient, but new as well, too. You could see her as some of the ancients, which this is what they would do. They'd be outside, and there wouldn't be that backlight, right? There wouldn't be the glow from the cities. And they could really, you know, really enhance and see the stars, and they would worship them. But then it's taking it into the modern day with a, you know, almost treating it like limelight to me, like a celebrity. So I thought this was very inventive and well done, and really nice read, Martha, as well too. Good job with that.
No,
very interesting.
I like that. Nice, Dan. Thank you. Jane, how about you?
Did you say me?
Yes.
Thank you. Because I don't know how I keep missing it, but I can't hear my name. I think my ears are shut. I thought this was a really nicely composed piece. I love the imagery throughout, and I truly enjoyed her description. I like these lines. Let me put them here so I can read them easy. Your mysterious nature, quite esoteric, disappearing often into the night amongst the lively, luminary masquerade, stoic at times, but sincerely honest, and why seeing your smile is enough, enchanting enough for all the kingdom of dust. And then, you know, of course, well, then it goes on about, often I glimpse at your crescent smirk. And I thought that was, it was just really clever. I think it was just really put together. So nice work for sure. And thanks for sharing with us, Peter.
Thank you, Jean. And Martha, you got to read it. How about you?
Oh, I thought it was really great. I thought it had a soft, gentle flow. And I have to admit, as I was reading it, I was really trying to figure out exactly what it was saying until I got to the end, and then it made totally sense. I thought it was really good.
Thank you, Martha. And Emmy, how about you?
Yeah, this was a really, really interesting read. I think it was sort of funny because I feel like the moon is something that so many people have written about, and we're still coming up with new ways of describing it, which is wonderful for the world of poetry. I feel like I think it's like the crescent smirk, the full beaming grin. It almost seems like at times like the actual angle changes because the moon can switch from that like but sort of like sideways D kind of smile, if that makes sense, and like the actual like crescent smirk. So I felt like that was actually really, really interesting because it really kind of brought me right in there. And I know someone else said this, but just dutiful hospitality to pompous star. It's such a wonderful, wonderful, just absolute killer line. So great job with that.
Well, great comments, everybody. Thank you very much. And Dan, I'm going to go along with your thought that this does have a nice old feel to it, especially with that opening stanza. Ultramarine outlines your soft glow, cloaked in a midnight regal tunic, embossed with intricate silver nimbus. There's a nice touch of in-depth thought as description, because it can walk, as you thought, it might be description of a lover. Yet, it keeps going on there. Kind and humble, not to outshine, a dutiful hospitality to pompous stars. So a little bit of humor. The thought with esoteric and a lively, luminary masquerade. There's almost a Mardi Gras feel in the moment. And that's where the crescent smirk and the full beaming grin offer up that notice of, it kind of hits on that note of enjoying the moonlight enough that it embalms you with all manner of thought and feeling, and it's got that that soft glow of happiness to it. So, thank you very much, Kiko. All right, Jane, back up to you.
All right, Rex, I'm going to kick it right back over to you. I've got a piece up here by Words by Jack Tomkovic.
Words by Jack Tomkovic. Words can plant gardens that grow and feed hundreds and thousands, or they can burn whole forests down, destroying trees, killing animals, torching homes like matchboxes. Sprinkle them tenderly, for the redwoods are tinder dry and fuel for fire fury. Can also ignite wars, wreak vengeance, screw up the climate, and warm the planet till we are all just frogs in now hotter water. Othello happy till Iago began whispering, and Desdemona danced till digits of death choked the slender white throat, windpipe indented, blue eyes entreating, breath leaving, lungs exploding. Tales told like lies can lead down the crooked path. End poem. All right, Jean, we're going to start with you.
I knew you would, because I was like, okay, I'm kind of lost. What a great piece. Wonderful imagery throughout. Not wonderful as in pretty, I don't think, but wonderful imagery. And incredible, I guess, tale told would be the way to put it. Torching homes like matchboxes, sprinkle them tenderly, as redwood, as tinder dry, and fuel for fire fury. Can also ignite wars, wreak vengeance, screw up the climate, and warm the planet, till we are all just rocks and now hotter water. Intriguing thoughts throughout. I think you did a great job with this. Not everything is just cut and dry. He gives you a lot to think about in this. His wording was great, so nice job, Jack.
Excellent. Thank you, Gene. Dan, how about you?
I've written about this before, and I agree 100%. You know, it's words that are that have saved more lives and killed more people than anything else, the history of mankind. You know, some people say it's religion, some people say it's politics. Those are all words. It's the written word. It's the spoken word. You know, you can go all the way to, you know, cult leaders like Jim Jones. What did he do? He used his words to manipulate people. What does any cult leader do? What does any politician do? They're trying to convince you of things. What does advertising do? It's using words, and you know, a lot of times they use sounds and pictures and so forth, but it's a lot of times words convince you buy this thing. And that's how wars are started. That's how arguments are started. That's how love is started. That's how we, you know, I mean, we're all wordsmiths here, and I think most of us try to use our words for to promote thought and positive thinking and open-mindedness. But you know, I thought he just captured that beautifully. You know, can also ignite wars, wreak vengeance, screw up the climate, and warm the planet to where we're all just frogs. It really is. That's what starts everything, is people's ideas that they turn into them. So I thought he hit it beautifully and perfectly, and really hit all the points and set it great, great imagery and ideas. So I liked it a lot.
Excellent.
And agree with it.
Thank you, Dan. And Annie, how about you?
Yeah, it actually reminded me of this joke. It's like a silly history joke. Like, it wasn't really the killing of Archduke Franz Ferdinand that sparked World War One. It was actually the news of that killing traveling back to the other countries, so if nobody had snitched it. But, like, no, I mean, it's just true. Like, at the end of the day, like, we... Mm-hmm. use words, especially nowadays, just to communicate pretty much everything. And so that's just, you know, the orders, right? The kind of power that has over people. And I think this really really, really tries to emphasize the power of language just in, you know, the going into detail about pretty much covering almost like everything from what I can tell, although there's probably always something else to cover anyway. Sorry, I'm rambling, but like this is a great write. I am definitely a Tom Kovic fan. Following him, I would recommend you do the same thing. He writes great shit.
Thank you, Amy. And Martha, how about you?
I really liked it. I love the flow, and I thought it was a very unique way of expressing the damage that we can do with just our words. It was really good.
Excellent. Thank you, Martha. From the outset, you get that one positive look right up front. Words can plant gardens that grow in trees hundreds and thousands. And from then, it went into this almost a blistering angle of how words work right down to that fifth stanza. Then open up with Othello happy, till Iago began whispering, and Desdemona danced her visit to death. So it kind of hits on that note of how words, whispering, and lies can walk in between two people, and all of a sudden, all hell breaks. There's the sort of clogs in their heart of water, the wars that get ignited, the wreaking vengeance, and how it's more fuel for a fire fury as that tension builds up between two people. And that last stanza kind of hits that note with tales told like lies can lead down the crooked path, which does walk us back to that note of, you know what, you might want to discuss things first between the two before you bring a third party in as a believable entry. All right, Gene, right back on you.
So the next piece I'm going to put up is called Evil by Weaver of Dreams. And I have an audio for that one.
I am a bad girl, though I try and try to be better today than yesterday. It's hard to be good when being bad is so much fun. Let me show you how. Take a stone, break that window. If you're lucky, you'll also hit someone. There's a girl, trip her up. Let's see if you manage to break her nose too. I see that you are beginning to enjoy being evil. Wait, where did you get that knife?
Great read, Weaver. Thank you for the SoundCloud. It's very much appreciated. That's a wicked picture. Emmy, why don't we start with you, please? Emmy, you there? Okay, Martha, how about you?
I really liked it. I thought it was really good, and I liked the way she got the comeuppance for all the evil she was teaching other people.
Yeah, I like that comeuppance. Nicely said there, Martha. Thank you. Dan, how about you?
Yes, this is definitely fun. You take the little picture there, and you make it, she almost made a little character out of it. Like, you could see this person doing these things, right? Breaking the window, trying to hurt somebody. So I thought it was a fun little take. I mean, I was almost picturing like a Dark Horse Comics, if you guys know what that is, for some reason when I was reading this. So she made evil fun, and I appreciate that, Weaver.
Thank you, Dan. Dean, and how about you? Oh, Gene. Are you
so
mutating?
It might be the zombie apocalypse.
You
we
know,
have all
I,
kinds
I,
of mutations going on tonight.
I need to change my name to something different, I think, at this point. But, yes, I would like to comment. I thought that this was a wonderful dark piece, with a great touch of humor as well. I thought it was very clever and very well done. And, you know, nobody can read these things like Weaver can. Her voice just really sets it all off. And I find that so intriguing. You know, she really can get her dark points across. That's what I'm going to say. And Lex, just for the record, Emmy's robbed, so, yeah. Thanks, Emmy. Have a great night. And I'm sorry. I'm going to be quiet now.
You're right. There was such a nice, even tone to this. Even a glint of glee in her voice up until that last line, when all of a sudden there was a note of surprise in her voice. Wait, where did you get that knife? And that's the reality check, too. Yeah, you bit off a little bit more than you could chew, and now you're going to pay the price. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Okay, I'm going to do one more audio, and then we're going to get to Dan and to, I'm okay, Martha, with their pieces, and then we'll move from there. So the next piece is by Robert M., and it's called Inner Sanctum.
This is Inner Sanctum. These walls where I've been confined, the tainted temple of my mind, has long been the home of despair, where I often hymn an empty prayer. Tempered by notions of seclusion, fueling the self-destructive delusion, imprisoning all that I could be, masking the deeper parts of me. With every promise that I would make, this temple seemed to rock and quake. With every reluctant, diminished smile, parts of me were cast to exile. But one day, in this deathly pall, I noticed little cracks in the wall, so I began to prod and poke amidst the rubble and the smoke. And as a piece of the wall had fell, light shone through the blackened hell. It was warm and it was bright, and pierced the frigid veil of night. It revealed that the shadows cast were not forever and would not last. Was nearly blinded, but now I see dreams of change can now roam free. I may wander in this life alone, yet nothing really is set in stone. Looking back, it all seems strange, but for now I embrace the winds of change.
Great read, Robert. Thank you for SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Martha, why don't we start with you, please?
Oh, I really like this. It started out one way, and it kind of took you a different way, and I thought it was really fun. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you, Martha. And Dan, how about you?
Yeah, this is very beautiful. It says it's inspired by Maya Angelou, which I just found out he is on the new quarter. My son just told me, so I throw that weird fact out there. But I thought this was really interesting, and I think it's kind of it's about acceptance. It's about acceptance of change. I've always said that humans hate change but are very adaptable to it. We don't like to do it, but we do it all the time, and we accept it very quickly. And I thought the ending was really great. I may wander in this life alone, yet nothing's really set in stone. Looking back, it all seems strange, but for now, I embrace the winds of change, which I thought was a really great way to end it. And I think that's kind of what I got the whole thing was about. But this is I'm not familiar with Robin M., and I'm definitely going to have to read some more. This is absolutely beautiful. And great rhymes throughout, and a great read as well, too. So thank you, Robert.
Thank you, Dan. Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I'm kind of partial to Robert's work. I love the fact that his work is always so well-rhymed and so well-expressed. You know, he can take something so dark and put it to rhyme, and it doesn't lose one bit of that darkness. And I've always admired that in his writing. I thought this was just a great piece and, a wonderful piece attributed to Maya Angelou and her poem Alone. And I just think he did an excellent job with it. It's very well done, and his audios are always good. Very much enjoy it. So thank you, Robert, as always, for sharing with us. I always appreciate that.
Great comments, everybody. In a sanctum, he takes a nice bite with that that thought through the sanctum sanctorum, that inner position of self where one closes off everything, just as he hits on that notion, tempered by notions of seclusion, fueling the self-destructive delusion, imprisoning all that I could be, masking the deeper parts of me, the deep inner recesses where one hides themselves, the real sense of self. Then that note of change in that fourth stanza. But one day in this deathly pall, I noticed little cracks in the wall, so I began to prod and poke amidst the rubble and the smoke. And as a piece of the wall had fell, light shone through the blackened hell. It was warm and it was bright, and pierced the frigid veil of night. Now that walks back to that empty prayer that he offered up, and then the promise, the crumbling of the walls itself. They start to give way until one finally sees that little glint of something that offers up a little bit more than what one is used to, the cold, binding sort of alone itself. Until, I think, the winds of change with a nice touch, and the dream of change as well, roaming free. Even though you might still walk alone, it is better within the light than it is in the darkness. At least you can understand and see that which is the reality seen itself. All right, Gene, we're coming to you.
Okay, and the next piece I'm going to put up is by Dan DeShane. So, Dan, whenever you're ready.
Sure, let me look this here. Yeah, it's too bad Emmy actually dropped this. This is inspired by her. Yeah, it was a contest she had where just give a quick introduction on it. It was a really fun contest she had where she was showing these different Instagram people that you would go on and find a painting to be or a picture to be inspired by. I don't have Instagram. I have like literally very little. I have LinkedIn's the only thing I have. I couldn't get on. It kept kicking me off, so it inspired me to write this. I finally got on and wrote for her contest, which was great and fun, but this was also inspired. So anyway, this is called Spiderwebs Grow on Darkened Paths. I remember freedom. I'm not old enough to remember its purity, but I did witness its death, like the death of the definition of happiness. Once a story of health is the main protagonist, and a simple misspelling for wealth to change the plot. I like H so much more than W, the difference between heel and wheel. I remember being able to just be in the moment, and I was one with it, and it with me. And everywhere was not owned by a camera, satellite watchdog, find the phone bell around the cat's neck, or the threat of random forever worldly fame. I would just be safe alone as the freedom of free will, wandering, dreaming, wanting to know everything about everything. What more evil of a nightmare than the ones that disguise themselves as the dreams of elation? The grasp of everything now in my hands, the price of everything knowing me. Home, once a sanctuary, home now a cage. Zoo animal hiding in its enclosure as the Saturday afternoon crowd shuffles through and points. Alone was long in the past. The piece of freedom gone, alone, and now the shackles of the mass of the alias phantoms I have created, like flies buzzing on the electronic web of the world. For peace, I cower in a darkened room, shades drawn, devices off, a helpless outcast, the world in person, socially awkward threat of exposure. Spiderweb world of captured flies, password protected, subscription demanded, instantaneous judgment, with each unforgiving carved in stone keystroke. I'm a pilgrim in an unholy land, and I walked the forgiving path for truth to be caught in the spiderweb of lies. End poem.
Wow.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Gene, what do you think?
Oh, you know, Dan, I think this is a really well done piece. You know, you think of all the different scenarios, and I think you hit on them really well. I love the different directions you've gone to express it. Let me see here. You know, God, I have to like kind of really like rethink it. Like the death of the definition No, let me try it again. Like the death is the definition of happiness. Once a story of health as the main protagonist, and a simple misspelling for wealth to change the plot. I like H so much more than W, the difference between heel and wheel. What a cool stanza there. And there's a lot of them throughout, you know. I love this. I like the, well, I could go on and on and on. So I think that's a silly piece. You know, that we don't all want to hear me reread the poem. But I definitely, you know, and everywhere was not owned by a camera, satellite watchdog. Find the phone bell around the cat's neck with the threat of random forever probably stand. I would just be safe alone. And away you went with it. And I think that the points were very well made throughout. And I think that, I think it's really excellent. I really do. And when you got down to the spider web, I was like, oh, he's dokey. All makes sense. It was all very well done. So nice work. And appreciate you sharing with us.
Thanks, Gene. I really appreciate it. Just think of back when I was a kid, and just wherever you go, you kind of had that moment as yours, and now, you know, there's a threat of kind of everything being, you know, recorded. So it's just kind of interesting to kind of think of the changes that have happened in the 50 years I've been here. But I appreciate the comments. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Gene. Martha, how about you?
I really liked it. I thought it expressed really well the way things have changed and how so much has just totally shifted around us. And if we don't change with it, we get left out and left behind.
That's it, Martha. Thank you.
Well, I like the thought of the spider web itself. It once was known that it was supposed to be the World Wide Web, that thought where you can find anything at your fingertips to learn about, to read upon, to indulge your growth mentally or whatever you were looking to seek knowledge from. That was the original idea, but I think people have forgotten who actually invented this morass that is now turned into this web of intrigue and everything else, because the original angle of this came out of DARPA, just as much as YouTube did, and everything gets recorded. There isn't a singular moment upon this earth where, when you're using computers or telephones, that it's not being recorded, it's not being cataloged, and it's not being sold, or it's not being used for some discriminatory purpose or other ideal that those in power can actually use it for. So the general gist of this was there once was a time when you felt comfortable. No longer that comfort sits.
Yeah, it's interesting. You can search for anything in the world, but search for Daniel Duchino. There I am right there. Anybody can do that. You know, it's there it is. Hi. Hi, world. So the price you pay. But thank you. Thanks, Rex. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Okie doke. Well, my next piece is by Martha Gettle, and I have a sound clip for that, so I can hit the button. There we go, Martha. Ready.
Sweet Obsession by Martha Gettle. On the day you took my hand, you promised to always be my man, and you became the one I can't resist. And now we live in wedded bliss. Your love took me by the heart, and from you I will never part. You're the one that holds me up high, and like the birds, I swear my heart can fly. Sweet obsession, sweet obsession, you are my heart's sweet possession. Your love always gets me through. I can always count on you. You're my sweet obsession, it's true. And I love lying next to you when you hold me in your arms tight and we make love all through the night. Sweet obsession, sweet obsession, you are my heart's sweet possession. Your love always gets me through. I can always count on you. As long as you're here with me, I have all that I will ever need. You fulfill my heart's desire as we burn in passion's fire.
Great read, Martha. Thank you very much for the SoundCloud. It is very much appreciated. And Dan, why don't we start with you?
Yeah, this was great. Martha, I haven't heard you in a while, and I missed it, definitely. I always describe Martha as like pure music. You know, you can listen to Justin Timberlake and whoever else, all these overproduced and ultra-produced, you know, music, which is all great, fantastic stuff, right? But it's the people in the bars. It's the people sitting on their porches and hanging out and just kind of jamming together that, to me, is the purity of music. And that's what I always think of when I see when I listen to Martha. I thought this was a beautiful write. A beautiful love story, as you write so often, and really, really loving and tender and musical, and I enjoyed all of it. Rhyming was great, and the melody was great as well, too. So awesome job, Martha. Really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Nice and said, Dan. Thanks. Jean, how about you?
Well, Martha, I thought this was a very nice and romantic and loving piece. Very well penned and a great job. I really enjoyed it. And thanks for sharing with us. And thanks for entering that contest. Great job.
Absolutely. I enjoyed the chorus. Sweet obsession, sweet obsession. You are my heart's sweet possession. Your love always gets me through. I can always count on you. Nice uptick in flavor and on the love angle and all the way through it. And you hit on that sweet obsession a couple of times, so it's got to be ringing hard.
Thank you.
You're welcome. All right, Jean, we're back to you.
What I'm going to put up is called Blue Eyed Boy by Diane Dees, and I have an audio for this one as well. That's just full of audio this time. I don't know. Here you go.
Blue Eyed Boy by Diane Dees. Standing quiet in silver rain pour, popsicle blue-eyed pupils stare. Salty teardrops stain his lashes. Weathered winters led him there. Soaked in ash, a burden buried, cloaked in bruises of purple pain. On his face bleed lines that blur as lips of thunder call his name. Rested from his cell-block cradle, bearing swift of willow stain. Blue-eyed boy hid in the shadows, where his will to live with me. Violin strings screeched of a labor to live inside the eye of the storm. Blue-eyed boy, he inked his harrow onto the threads of pith he'd worn. Embrace the journey he has traveled. Don't wean the land he is to roam. Commend him his flight of courage. For blue-eyed boy, he has gone home. End poem.
Great read, Diane. Thank you very much for SoundCloud. It is appreciated. And Martha, why don't we start with you?
Well, to me, it's speaking of like child abuse, and what it does and how hard it is to overcome, but in the end you can find a way to overcome it. I thought it was really great. I love the message.
Thank you, Martha. And Jean, how about you?
You know, I thought this piece was really, really well done. I believe it's a tribute piece because in the author's notes it says R.I.P. Braden, sadly. So, but I think that Diane really hit so many notes. I mean, it was somewhat painful, eye-opening. You know, you kind of look and it's a lot going on here, and it is heartfelt and definitely thoughtful piece. So thank you, Diane. Wonderful job.
Thank you, Jean. And Dan, how about you?
I agree with Jean. I think there's a lot going on here. I think that she really took that one single tear and that idea of sadness and just ran with it and really delved into that. So I think the whole thing is just about sadness and describing sadness and really getting into the depths of it. But then there is some little bits of biography on here where wrestled from his cell block cradle. And then, you know, boy just found a home. So there's definitely something personal in here that, you know, I'm not sure if I can see the details as well as I probably should. But I thought she really kind of delved into the depths that sorrow can be and did it a beautiful job. And it was a great SoundCloud as well, too. So great job.
Well, absolutely, Dan. You're right on that. There are some hard notes in this. Like you said, rested from a cellblock cradle, bearing sweat of willow stained, blue-eyed boy hid in the shadows, where his will to live was maimed. And then in Dan's lips of thunder call his name. There's that back end, that last stanza, see the journey he has traveled, don't ween the land he is to roam, and toast him for his light and valor, blue-eyed boy just found a home. And then there's that note to R.I.P. Braden in the bottom, and it might have been a long fight with something that buried itself within Braden, and that home is sitting in heaven, so to speak, with no more thoughts of pain and anguish. So, nicely done there, Diane. Thank you. Back on you, Jean.
Okay, Lex, I'm coming back to you. This is a piece by Damn It Dave called Seduce Me.
Oh, okay. Seduce Me by Damn It Dave. Seduce me with your sexy stare. Come run your fingers through my hair and whisper things inside my ear that any lover longs to hear. Then, darling, follow up with this, a warm embrace and lustful kiss. Then let your gown fall to the floor and lead me through the bedroom door. Make me object of your desire. Set mind and body both on fire. Love me till the night is ended, leaving both of us expended. And in the morning, when we rise, again arouse me with your eyes, and say the words I'm yearning for. My darling, I am yours once more. And pause. All right, Jean, you get the lead.
Oh, I love Damn It Dave's work. I always have, you know. I love his rhyme and his meter. His flow is always, like, spot on. I think that this is a great piece for the contest for last Wednesday, the Seduce Me contest. I think it's I Want to Be Seduced. Sorry, that was the show. I think it was just very, very well expressed. Great lines throughout. Let me see. Make me the object of desire. Set mind and body both on fire. Love me till the night is ended. Leave both of us expended. And in the morning when we rise, again, arouse me with your eyes and say the words I'm yearning for. My darling, I am yours once more. It's just great. I mean, I don't know. Dave's got just a wonderful way with his poetry. No matter what topic you toss his way, he really can, put it together and do a rhyming poem that is just incredible. Really awesome stuff. So thank you again for sharing with us. I really, really appreciate it.
Nice. Thank you, Jean. And Dan, how about you?
I agree with Jean to the point that I think she took pretty much every single thought out of my head and said exactly what I was going to say. But I agree that the rhyming is great. It's just a beautiful, you know, love poem all around. You know, find me a sonnet that's better than this one. That's all I have to say. I thought it was absolutely beautiful and spot on. Great job, Dave.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. Martha, how about you?
Martha dropped. Sorry, Rice.
Okay. I guess I'm going to hit up, since you guys are taking up everything, I'll hit on the film. Seduce me with your sexy stare, and then to open up, and then in the finish. and in the morning when we rise, again arouse me with your eyes. Again, that note to the eyes, that those windows to the soul, so to speak, and that note of that which still lingers from the evening, now to be expounded upon once more come morning. And you're right. There's Dave always pops with a great sense of rhyme and flow that walks very well. Thank you, Dave. All right, Jane, we're back on you.
Thank you. Hit one more button. Okay. Now, oh wait, make that another button. Wait, one more button. Jeez Louise. Okay. Okay. And I have another one for you to read. And this one is by Rain 474.
Okay. Hitting the refresh button.
Okay. No, don't do it. I haven't put it in there yet. There we go.
Okay.
I was 2 seconds behind my mouth.
That's okay. I was hitting it anyway. Something for me to do. Keep hitting it. Now, this is by Rain 474. I got, you know, simple things for simple minds. Rain 474 called Oh My Lady. Deduce the holy fuse. Don't be confused. Just buckle your shoes and hop to my little juice. Oh, woman of muse, came in and infuse the adrenaline dose with your titillating rose, which is missing in my every costly booze. Deduce, but please don't reduce the flowing river's mesmerizing dews, painting the nights with joyous hues, sucking the stress like activated charcoal pieces. O woman of muse, to me only you choose. I want to be your conducting fuse, surcharging every cell you use until you glow in the spelling tide of your bew. Deduce, do not abuse, but it's time to flow profuse, submerged in your dreamy, creamy muse. Oh, life is a wonderful boat to cruise, especially with you, oh, my lady in blue. End poem.
Great read, Dan. Thank you very much. All right, Jean.
Well,
a little Friday night geek.
I think this was intriguing. And I want to say thanks for the share. This was actually written for last Wednesday. Clever thoughts throughout. I'm just, you're amazing. So I want to say thank you, Ring 474, and thanks for sharing.
Thank you, Gene. All right, Dan, you got to read it. How about you?
I did. I thought this was really, really interesting. I love the rhyme and just kind of almost the wordplay that they did to make the rhyme. I'm definitely a fan of that, of not staying with the norm and kind of playing around with words. And I thought it was really fun the way that Rain did this. So that's the thing that got me the most, was just kind of the composition of it. And if you kind of look at the actual paragraphs or the stanzas on here, it almost kind of goes in like steps as well too. Everything kind of gets longer and longer and longer as they go. So it was really well just composed and put together and fun with the rhyming and the word use. So that's what I really enjoyed about this.
Excellent. Thank you, Dan. I'm going to walk into the note of sensuality that walks through this, and that where the sensuality lends itself. It isn't just about the muse or the woman who is the muse. It's dipping into that muse as delight. Painting on nights with joyous hues. I want to be your conducting fuse, surcharging every cell you use. Time to flow profuse, submerged in your dreamy, creamy muse. Oh, life is a wonderful boat to cruise, especially with you, oh, my lady in the blue. So it is definitely a nicely done sensual piece. Thank you, Rain.
All right,
Jane.
Thank you, fellas. I have 3 pieces left. So, cross my fingers. Here we go. I'm going to read this one. This is called Beloved Ghost by A.R. Mundell. Hands ghost, memories catch like whispers of half-forgotten sweetness as you move through me and about me, and I wonder where you are, how you are, if you shall ever return. And I listen for small signs of you, lights in the corner of my eyes, a sigh out of place, a breeze on a calm day, a gentle calm in the chaos, anything that might show me that you are here, around me, near me. And I am not left alone with only the ghost of you and fading memories, which slip by far too soon and congregate at my feet like snowmelt. Now that the long winter of grief has thawed, and I guiltily turn my face to the sun and contemplate stepping out of the puddle and into new realms where you shall never be again, save for tiny whispers of memories jumbled in my conscience, fighting for dominance with all the rest. End poem.
Great read, Gene. The first Thank 2/3 of this kind of hit on that note of that movie Ghost, the thought of being walked through, the lingering softness, the smells, the glint out of the side of the eye, and all that. But that back end, and congregate at my feet like snowmelt. Now that the long winter of grief is stored, and I guiltily turn my face to the sun, and contemplate stepping out of the puddle and into new realms, where you shall never be again, save for tiny whispers of memories jumbled in my conscience, while fighting for dominance with all the rest. And that role between the snow angle and the fading memories was quite the thought of coming to terms with grief and actually stepping into the light once more. That finish was wonderfully done. Dan, how about you? Did we lose Dan, too?
I don't know. I got to go check. Why, yes, we did, Rex. It's you and me. This is how we started tonight.
Okay. Ben, I guess you're the next comment.
Here we go. You know, I thought this was beautifully written by A.R. Mundell. As a widow, I found this poem very relatable. I could actually fit myself into this, into the lines and the stanzas, and totally follow it, you know. And I thought it was definitely an excellent expression of emotion. Very well done. Very, very well done. Okay. Now, I have 2 more left, and
Kubi.
They're both male voices, so Dan, to find time to leave me. That's
I guess
tagging,
I got the
man.
Answer. Okay. All right, then.
Okay.
Slap
me
upside the head. What do we got?
I don't want to slap you upside the head. This one is called My Porsche by Daniel Duhamel.
Oh. My Porsche by Daniel Duhamel. My crimson heart beats like a train out of control, faster and faster by looking at every curve of her glistening body. She portrayed a perfect form like a race car with rounded curves reaching a point with jagged edges. I wanted to jump in her driver's seat and burn rubber on her asphalt, leaving a smoking hot trail behind her tailpipe. but don't light a match. You might explode from our gases. Fire and water don't mix well. Bodies were coiled together like earthworms engaged in reproducing. Two hot bodies embraced in the slime of lust. It was the third period when we stopped. I scored a hat trick that night. I won the Heisman Trophy for a gentlemanly-like conduct. And home. All right, Gene.
Thanks, Brian. I thought this was a pretty intriguing piece for last Wednesday. For I want to be seduced for the contest. I thought that was a great take on that. Clever and well thought out, and definitely a different perspective from all the rest. But I think it was well done and well written. A clever piece. So thank you so much, Daniel.
Oh, absolutely. I like the bite of humor to finish. It was the third period when we stopped. I scored a hat trick that night and won the Heisman Trophy for gentlemanly-like conduct. Oh, a hat trick. A little bit of hockey, a little bit of football. And, yes, goal was attained three times. Nice gentlemanly conduct.
All good. Now, let me see if I can figure out the last one. The very last one. Here we go. Actually, I'm going to clear the board. It's amazing. This piece is done by, what do I do? I'm losing, like, can't find a darn thing in this thing anymore. What happened? It's all Dan Dicino's fault. I know it is. Here we go. I have to go back over here. Scroll down over there. God dang. Okay, Rex, the next piece is by Simon Jeff. And it is called Reborn.
Okay. There it is. Reborn by Simon Guest. I walk through the darkness. The sound of silence ringing in my ears drips from my fingertips. Her hand strokes my cheek, black talons burrowing within my beard, whilst her eyes stare into my soul. A double-edged blade lives, driven into a stone. Fear envelops the mind. However, a battle of heart and body breathes. Blood-red lips give life, cold and dead, yet I live. She looks beyond reality. Pale white bodies rise, blood-stained kisses cover. Fantasy overlaps normality. There is no further care. Mouths suckle upon whiskey-flavored breasts. I am born again upon the land of Tartarus. End poem.
Wow. Well, this is definitely, I think this is a wonderful piece by Simon. You know, Simon has such a great way with his dark rights, and I think that he was very well expressed. I think there was a lot of wonderful details throughout. And, it was dark and wonderful. Her hand strokes my cheek, black talons burrowing within my beard, whilst her eyes stare into my soul. A double-edged blade lives, driven into a stone. Fear envelops the mind. However, a battle-hardened body breathes. Wonderful, wonderful lines throughout, and just really nicely written. Yeah. Thank you, Simon.
All right. There's almost that note with, let me see, where was it? Black talons burrowing within my beard, whilst her eyes stare into my soul. That almost gives the note of a Valkyrie cleaning a body off the field of battle.
Mm.
That note, fear envelops the mind, however a battle-hardened body breathes. And then again, I am born again upon a land of Tartarus that deep domain in Greek myth and legend. So it does kind of have that feel with the Valkyrie hand, but this one walking in into Tartarus, taking one home, so to speak.
Right.
All right. We're back up to you.
Well, right. You know, there's not a whole lot left. We ran all the poems. I'm impressed. I didn't really think we were going to get through them all, but it just rolled nicely tonight. Just a great night of poetry. Thank you, everyone who shared their poems, shared their voice. Just wonderful. Thank you, Martha. Thank you, Emmy. And thank you, Dan, for calling in. Great comments, great reads. I appreciate all of you. Rex, as always, thank you for co-hosting with me. You know, it's always fun. Well, for me, it's fun. For you, it's probably frustrating trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing.
I didn't.
But definitely a great night for poetry, and I hope everyone will join us for, Part Center, Part Saint at 12:30 tonight. And I hope everyone will join us for Exploring X Places tomorrow night with Dan Deschino and Bob, Captain B2. I was going to say Bobby, but people were saying, who the hell is that? I hope everyone will tune into that. And join us on Sunday for Rhythm and Rhyme. And we'll be looking forward to hearing from you all. And thanks, everybody, and have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. And I'll be back before you all know it. So take it easy. And thanks, Rex.
Good night.
I appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
Good night.